So you're having an appointment on Thursday.
Here's that previous slide.
That's it, yes, much better.
This one. And so what kind of week did you have? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst week this year so far, 10 being the best week this year so far, where in that scale do you put it? Now, this is rhetorical, so we just listen and think and reflect. I've got to figure out how to do the next piece. Okay, so what did you remember to come up with a score? What were you thinking about that made it such a good week or such a bad week or such an average week? Was it work? Was it your time in devotions and prayer with God? Was it family time when your family was together? Was it money? Either you made a lot or you didn't make a lot or it cost a lot. Was it entertainment? You saw something you enjoyed or did something you enjoyed that was entertaining? The Cheneys have their son coming in this week. That'll be fun, won't it? I bet your number this next week will be higher than your number last week. Okay, third question. Here we go. So give it a thought. Seems like there's one more thing I was going to do before we started this morning. Oh, I did it already, spring. So we're going to lead to spring. We can go back to this one. I like this one. Yeah, hello, spring. Father, we thank you for bringing us together in your spirit. We thank you that through the week we pray for one another, many phone calls, many times of conversation, interaction together where we encourage one another. We thank you that your word is a light unto our feet and a lamp on our pathway. We thank you this morning, Lord, that as we gather, we are one in Christ. And some of us come discouraged and having had a difficult week. Some of us come having had a good week and encouraged. Some just show up because it's a routine. But Lord, everything you do is new and fresh. And like spring that is starting, we thank you for the promise of life, fresh life, new life. Lord, as a church, we want to be springtime people. We want to reach new and fresh and go where your spirit is leading in the sunshine of your love. Thank you for the joy of worship today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and worship the Lord in song.
Sacred throne, he has.
You are Lord, the famous one, great is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your glorious, great is your fame beyond.
Honor you in all I do. Let me honor.
I'm sure that you're making to God all the time. If your heart is not torn out by the violence and the bombing and the deaths that you see, then you need to check to make sure you still have a pulse. It's just awful. And the hardness of human heart that we see on all sides is a reminder to us of our great need of a Savior. One who can forgive. We want to also be praying for Mission Advance coming up, and we'll be making more announcements regarding the Sunday morning worship here at, sorry to say, at 3 o'clock, the morning worship here on the 3rd of April. And right now the plan is I'll be here, and we'll be also watching what's going on at the Advance and their worship service. And then, friends who need Christ, that's why I asked that third question that I had you read quietly. Who are you inviting for Easter services? The sign out front I put up this week says, avoid the rush, Easter rush, come to Sunday, today, and come to worship now. And so talk to your friends, bring it up, remind them of Easter, remind them that it's a great opportunity to gather together for worship. We're praying as a church to reach families with children. And God is helping us in that in surprising ways. Some of them we can talk about, some of them we can't. But we're thankful. And let's just keep not only praying, but encouraging and lifting up people to the Lord. And remember these needs through the week. As we prepare for prayer, let's just sing together the Heart of Worship, and then I'll be leading us in prayer.
Thank you.
more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, when it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made, when it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you.
Cleansed again with a clear perspective, a clear sight of you that would cause the world to dim and all the distractions to fade away and all of the noise to be stilled in our hearts, so that we might in your presence, O God, be reminded of how great it is to love and to serve you. How important it is to establish in our hearts again at the beginning of the week the priority, the first place in our time, in our money, in our talents, in our energies, the first place belongs to you. Would you just right now tell the Lord in your own way, Lord, I belong to you. This week is your week. I give you these first hours. I give you your tithes and my offerings. I give you the praise that you're worthy of. I recognize and worship your priority and your greatness. And it exalts him and it lifts us when we worship him. And so, Lord, we worship you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want that commitment that we make this morning to be a love that we live out through the week. We think of your great mercy, O God, how in our sin you have forgiven us and cleansed us from all unrighteousness, as your word says. We think, O God, about that walk that we have with you and how on that journey we are never alone because you're always there. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is a guide and a light unto our path. We thank you for the ways in which we know how to turn and where to go because of the direction that we have from your word and from the Spirit. We just praise you today, Father, that all that we are can be found in the resources of your grace and love and the power of your Spirit. May we be so in tune with you today that we will live differently this week in a way that is special, in a way that blesses others, in a way that shares the love of Christ, in a way that we take up the cross and follow you to give our lives in service and to give ourselves to others in care and in outreach. We do pray for our world today, torn by war again, and we grieve with those whose lives have been lost, their family members, and the devastation that is taking place of property and the tremendous costs, O God, of death and war. heart breaks and we pray, O God, for those who today are in the midst of grief and sorrow, those today who are dislocated from their homes, from their families, from all that they've known, and are refugees. We thank you for those in ministry and service to them and giving supplies and giving hospitality and preparing food and caring for human need and physical bodies that are broken. It's a reminder to us, O God, that the Bible says there will be wars and rumors of wars until the coming of Christ again. And we are weary and tired and heavy laden with the idea. But we want to rest today. We want to lay our burdens down in your presence and glorify your name because you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we look to you. Father, today we want to pray for Mission Advance coming up in 2 weeks, and we realize, oh God, that it is a time of reunion and a time of renewal. It is a time of honoring and recognizing new ministers and new leaders and ordaining pastors and leaders for our church. We give you praise for all the work that's gone in, and we pray for all those that will be heavily involved in leading Mission Advance. That it would be a time of worship and renewal as a district, that we would catch a vision and give us a higher calling and a greater sense of clarity for the year ahead as we serve you. Father, we pray for our families. We thank you for them. And would you just take a moment and pray for the members of your family, the ones under your roof or in your household or the network of your family where they're extended. Lift them up to God by name and just thank God for them and ask God's blessing on their lives. Father, give us grace and give us peace and give us wisdom. Grace to hold one another in the love of Christ. Peace to trust you and believe that you're working in all circumstances for the good. May we rest in the knowledge that you're in charge. We can leave in your hands those things that are worrisome, those things that are stressful, and you'll give us the guidance we need to be the people we need to be. Bless now our worship as we hear the word and as we together are challenged by what the Holy Spirit would say. May it be to us good news, and may it be to us that which builds and strengthens and forms our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to have us look at Isaiah 55. That may be somewhere you've not been in a long time in the Bible. But go back there in the Old Testament to Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet, you remember, in a very difficult time, and really a fresh voice of God on a people that desperately needed to hear from God. And what I want you to see this morning is the invitation that God gives us through Isaiah, through his words. Isaiah 55, I'm going to read here a few first eight verses or so for our edification, for our understanding, for our learning, and listen to the Word of God. I'm reading from the New International Reader's Version, so some of the wording is a little bit different than the NIV. Come, all you who are thirsty, come and drink the water I offer you. You who do not have any money, come, buy and eat the grain I have given you. Come and buy wine and milk. You will not have to pay anything for it. Why spend money on what is not food? Why work for what does not satisfy you? Listen carefully to me, then you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the richest food there is. Listen. Come to me. Pay attention to me, and then you will live. I will make a covenant with you that will last forever. I will give you my faithful love. I promised it to David. I made him a witness to the nations. He became a ruler and commander over them. You too will send for nations you do not know. Even though you do not know them, they will come running to you. That is what I will do. I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy One of Israel. I have honored you. Look at verse 6. Turn to the Lord before it is too late. Call upon him while he is still ready to help you. Let those who are evil stop doing evil things, and let them quit thinking evil thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord. The Lord will show them his tender love. Let them turn to our God. He is always ready to forgive. My thoughts are not like your thoughts, and your ways are not like my ways, announces the Lord. Twice in there is the great word from the Hebrew, hesed, the mercy and love of God. Many times people say, well, the Old Testament, that's just full of an angry God, judgment, war, killings, and the establishment of Israel and the prophets and all those things. But that's not a God I want to follow, or that's not a God we want to look at. But what we forget is that in that covenant God makes, there is his great mercy to come to his people, to forgive, to give them his everlasting love, to plant in their hearts the hope of giving light to the world. They don't see it just yet, but of course that comes through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, whom John says is the light that is coming to the world. And that's down the road. But here's the promise in this Old Testament passage. And what I want you to see is that four times in that first verse, the invitation is to come. 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 Isn't that a great word? Don't you love it when someone says, come, we're going out to eat? That's my favorite phrase in the English language, just about. Come with me. We're going to go have fun. Come, let's go explore. Come, let's go look at the cherry blossoms. Come, come over to our house. We want to play games. After church asked me about the last game I played, it's quite a funny story. Come. Isaiah the prophet is speaking the words of God to us, and he says to us, come. Come. You know what we think God says? Fix. Straighten up. Quit. No. That's not what God says. God says, come. Come. Come along. Come, let's go for a walk. Well, when I said that, when I was thinking about that, and I didn't think about it as I was preparing the sermon, but just now I thought of it, my father used to say to me sometimes, come on, PJ, let's go for a walk. Now, don't ever call me PJ. That was one of my dad's love language words, names for me. So you're not allowed to use it. Come on, PJ, let's go for a walk. And we'd go for a walk together. That was special. That was an honor. Come. Now, in that word come is this whole idea that we have to leave where we are, right? You see, God doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you to come along with him. And one of the things that I really clearly want to say this morning is that it's not what we do, it's what he does for us. He invites us to come. The beauty of coming along with God is that we get to walk and unfold and grow with him by the Holy Spirit. The disciples think about it this way in that context with Jesus. Jesus took them to places they had never been and sometimes to places they did not want to go. Think about the sinking ship. Think about 5,000 people hungry, not having eaten all day. And the disciples says, what are we going to do? There's not enough McDonald's to feed them. Jesus said, what do you have? He broke the bread. They went with him. Come with me. Come. And if you think of God, and when you think of God this morning, I want you to think of this great word, come. Because he invites you to come with him. To come with him. I bought a book this week. It has only a one-word title. You know what that title is? With. With. Just just for fun, as you're reading scripture this week, watch for the word with, where God invites us to come with him. He wants to go with you this week in what you do. He wants to be with you in the conflicts, the disagreements, the arguments, the disappointments. I can tell you that some of the sweetest moments of when God is with me have been some of the most difficult moments of my physical life. Major surgery or those kinds of issues. Just to know that he is with me. Those alone moments, no one else can be there. We've got too many of those now, don't we? Some of you have been in the hospital when no one can come visit you and no one can show up. I was talking with someone this past couple of weeks and they said, I couldn't go, I couldn't be there. Really? No. Jesus is there. He says, come. Come. Come with me. So four times in this first verse, come all you who are thirsty. So you got to admit you're thirsty. Miles, is there any way to put the motion into that? I don't know if it works with this projection, but if you please, is it moving?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. It's not moving over there. Okay, I like that. I mean, you know, I know that's a simple, crude drawing, but it's just kind of neat, isn't it? Come to me, all you that are thirsty. Here, I've had two thoughts about this word. The first thought is, we don't link together the disappointments, discouragements, and difficulties of our life with a spiritual thirst. We don't see it that way. We think it's two different things. I have my time with God, I have my time at church, and then I have all these problems and issues in life. And what God wants us to see is that we've got to see these as thirsts that he wants to satisfy. Where is life falling apart? Where is life difficult? Where in life are you failing? Where in life do you feel unsatisfied? He wants you to bring that thirst to him. Come, you that are thirsty. Until you admit you're thirsty, you're not going to come. You're going to think you can make it on your own. I got it all taken care of. Don't bother me. My life's fine. Go help those poor people that are suffering. I'm not suffering. I don't have any needs. I take care of all my needs. It's kind of a male thing to say, isn't it? American male, especially. You know, I'm an independent guy. I pay all my bills, do all my thing, and, you know, don't bother me. Yeah. So, you know, fine, go your way. You're going to be thirsty, you're going to be lonely, you're going to be alone. I'd rather come with Jesus. I'd just rather walk with him. You got to admit you're thirsty before you're going to get help. And that's the first thought I've had on thirsty. And the second thought I've had on thirsty is we don't think that the struggles we have are what God is interested in. Because we think the struggles we have is the way God is condemning us, don't we? And sometimes it is the fault of our sin. And there's a way to fix that. You confess. Amen. Lord, I blew it. Help me. Forgive me. Help me to come back to where you need me to be, where I want to be. Come, all ye that are thirsty. It's not wrong to be thirsty. It's wrong to stay thirsty. Because he's offering water. Now get this. This gets better. Can you believe that? It gets better. But before it gets better, we've got to get worse. So let's do that. Yeah. Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So you say, well, Pastor, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I'm not thirsty. I mean, my life's pretty good. I got things together. I got, you know, there's some areas I could do better, but I figured it all out. I found the magic cure. I know the way. I'm successful. And God says, you've dug cisterns, you've gone looking for water in wells that are broken. The water just flows away because you've forsaken me, the spring of living water. I never thought I'd see the day when we would pay for bottled water on a consistent basis. Did you ever think of that? I mean, that should seem ridiculous when you could open the tap and it's water, it's clean. I gotta admit, I'm hooked on that stuff. Fact of the matter is, I've got one right here. Everybody takes a drink. I love it. God says, my people have committed two sins. One, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns. We go out to do our own thing, our own way, ignoring God and leaving his way, and then we wonder why this doesn't work, why this is a disappointment, why what I'm trying isn't successful. And I'm not saying that everything we do in God makes us successful and everything in life is going to be roses and it's all going to be like living in Disney World. No, what I'm saying is that when we are in life and when it is tough, God says to us, come. Admit you're thirsty, admit your need. See, one of the messages that we've sent out, and I told you I'm going to be turning up the heat, and so this is one of the ways I'm going to do that. One of the messages we've sent out is that we don't need to confess. We don't need to say anything's wrong. We don't need to open up. We can just come in and go out without ever really being impacted by the person next to us. Hi, how are you? Good, fine. Good to see you. Good. Have a good week. Bye, bye. In college, I used to just try to trip people up because they'd always say the same thing when they'd see you as you walk across campus. They'd say, hi, how you doing? And so I'd say, cold, isn't it? What? You know, they didn't expect that. They expect me to say fine. I just tried to give them a different answer because I knew they didn't mean it. They, you know, how are you? They really don't want to know how you do it. And I understand because some of you go on forever. No, I'm sorry. Do that in your small group. That's what small groups are for. Come. Come to me. Jesus said it this way, didn't he? Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Don't forget the yoke and the burdens. The yoke is what you pull in life, the challenges you face. And the legend is, and please forgive me for this, but the legend is that over the carpenter shop of Joseph was a sign that said his yokes fit well. And what I'm asking you to forgive me for is we know that in all likelihood, Jesus was not a carpenter, nor was Joseph. But just set that aside for a minute. Believe the legend for a moment, because there's some truth there. His yokes fit well. They don't chafe the oxen when the oxen pulls the yoke. They don't rub them raw on their shoulders and around their necks where they pull. So get the picture. We're working for God. But what he wants us to do for him isn't to destroy us or to tear us up. It's to fit well. I want you to fit well in ministry. I want you to be in ministry. God wants you to be in ministry. He wants your life to count. It is work. It is hard. You will be tired, but it will fit well. At the end of the day, you can say, it is well with my soul. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that applies to family, not just church. In our families. To allow God's yoke to fit well. My wife and I have adult kids. Don't have adult kids. They're tough. They're tough. Just skip right to the grandkids. They're neat. Ellis on his own, Tuesday night I think it was, started playing peekaboo with us. He went and got something to put over his head, and he'd put it over his head, and we'd see him, and then he'd pull it off and laugh. More fun than... Oh, well. How did I get way down that trail?
I don't know. It's okay.
Can you get it?
Go with it.
Go with it? You think it's okay? All right. Thanks. Come. challenges in life. Every phase of life has challenges that require us to change, to grow, to adapt. And we don't like those, and they make us thirsty. And sometimes when it's rubbing you raw, you need to come back to Jesus and say, how can this yoke fit me well? Show me. And one of the things I've learned is there's some things I just have to leave alone. See, I'd like to jump in and fix a lot of things. I'd like to jump in and tell people answers and give people recipes and prescriptions for what will solve what's going on. It doesn't fit. It just makes them raw. But Jesus' recipe, Jesus' yoke, fits well. I just saw a face appear over the wall. Okay. I love this image because this is what Isaiah is saying, how Jesus fulfills it for us. Let me get this mic where I can hear myself. Okay. This is Gordon's painting, and the original hangs in St. Paul's in London. And it's the picture of from Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And the King James says, I will sup with him. I like that because that sup is dinner. I like to eat, you know. So, but I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. There's several things about this picture you need to see. Number one, Jesus is the light. See how the light all emanates from Jesus? Number two, he's knocking. He's not pounding. He's not tearing down the door. He's not marching through the door. He is knocking at the door. And in our lives, we have to stay or go or be where Jesus is knocking. We have to recognize that he wants to come in. The second or third or fourth thing, I don't know where I'm at on my list, but see all the thorns and thistles and shrubbery around the door? It's overgrown. And our lives get overgrown with all this stuff that Jesus has to break through and come through, clear up, clean out. And he knocks. One of the things about our lives is we get so noisy and so busy and so full of stuff, we don't hear the knocking at the door. We've got to say, Lord, make me sensitive. Lord, help me to hear. And then I told you the news gets better because he says, it is free. Come and buy wine and milk, and you will not have to pay anything for it. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. One of the ways that I find the wine and the milk in my life is to listen to great Christian music. It just feeds me. Feeds my soul. And I need that. We all need those things that nourish our spirits. The Word of God, obviously. Prayer, obviously. Being in Christian fellowship, obviously. But sometimes it's a walk in nature. It's sitting alone with a good book, or it's just thinking and meditating and letting God speak to our hearts. But then he asks this question, why do you waste time, money, and work on what does not satisfy? And I understand, sometimes we have to work in order to have the money to do what satisfies ministry, care, serving others. One of the big projects in the Church of the Nazarene has been Work and Witness. It's where people, just ordinary Nazarenes, give money and pay their way to go work on a mission field. It may be in healthcare, it may be in building a building, it may be in leading a vacation Bible school or witnessing, and they take their vacation time to do it. And they, in other words, they say to me, you know, I love my job and I like what I do for work, but what I really enjoy is going to Cuba and building a church. What I really love is investing in the kingdom in this way. Yeah. But what do? We waste time and money and work on what does not satisfy. It doesn't feed our soul in Christ. Listen carefully to me, and then you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the richest food there is. Listen and come to me. Pay attention to me, and then you will live. I will make a covenant with you that will last forever. I will give you my faithful love. I will give you my hesed, the Hebrew word, the love and the mercy of God that's consistent, that never runs out, that's always there.
Yeah.
Go to it. Know where it is. Find it. Get it in your life. You used to talk about a touchstone, that which you could go back to, that you knew was secure, that you knew was fixed. You've got to have that in your heart. For me, it's knowing commitments I've made on the journey and revisiting those commitments when I'm in doubt or when I'm struggling and saying, Lord, is this still what you want? Is this still where you need me? Is this still your call? And in his own way, in his own inimitable, beautiful way, he has a way of correcting or affirming or directing what we need to do. He does. He does. It's surprising. People will speak to me and they don't even know that they're being the prophetic voice of God into my life or what I needed to hear in that moment. Sometimes I tell them, sometimes later I figure it out and realize I should have told them. What is it that keeps you away? What is it that detains you, that has you so caught up in it and wrapped up in it that you're losing touch with God? Could be your search for security. You know, you don't like anything risky. You don't like any threat. You don't like to see things change or be out of order of where you expected them to be. And so you try to organize a secure life or a box or a cage to fit everything in and plans and details. And then it gets messed up. Maybe it's habits. Maybe it's a habit that has gotten a hold of you and you can't break the habit. The habit has you rather than you having a habit. Maybe it's a sin, a secret sin, or a sin that you're not willing to turn in and get rid of and let God heal and let God work with you on. And the fact of the matter is, the rest of our lives, we will be working with these issues with God. And we settle them, yes, but then we have to keep coming back to obedience and growing, and He refines us. You know, when they finish wood and finish furniture, they start with a rough surface, but then they keep what? They get finer and finer sandpaper and get it smoother and smoother and smoother. God in your life is using the rough things to smooth you out, to make you what He wants you to be. The challenges, the hard things you face, He wants you by faith to make it through. To hang on to Him, to be with Him. Maybe it's the idea you can do it by yourself. We're going to be un-American for a few minutes, okay? It's not, I can do it by myself in the kingdom of God. We do it together. God and I, yes, but the church and I. Don't ever think, don't ever believe that you could be a Christian and not be in the church. Just like you can't be a soldier and not be in the army. Yeah. He calls us together. He calls us to work together. He calls us to walk together. He calls us to worship together. He calls us to live in community so that we extend His love and grace to all as a group. And far more gets done because of that. And maybe what keeps us away is because we don't know better or we don't believe better. We're not willing to take the risk. We're not willing to step out in faith. We're not willing to get out of the boat. You got to admit, Peter at least walked on the water a little bit. He did sink when he took his eyes off Jesus, but he got out of the boat, right? What's the boat God wants you to get out of today? What's the risk? Where's the step? Where's the growth? Where's the challenge? he wants you to have. And then we've got to learn better. We've got to learn to know better and believe bigger in God, trust him more for things. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to be exposed. We don't want to fail. We don't want to risk failure. Understand all that. That's human. God calls us to that. He wants us to take the step of faith. He'll be there to meet us. When did Peter encounter Jesus? When he was drowning. That's when Jesus pulled him out, right? Amen? Funny story. We were in the sub-basement of a hotel, banquet room. You were there, right? That was before you got there. And I had just come to seminary. I parked my little beautiful Volkswagen without thinking about it, without even noticing it, next to a grate in the parking lot that was a water drain. And we'd had 3 days of rain. We went to this banquet, my roommate and I, and left my car there. And we were in the sub-basement, like I said, and it's still raining, and there's a creek out front of this hotel. And all of a sudden, well, first of all, let me tell you, the preacher that night was preaching and challenging us to be members of the Glub Glub Club. And what he was talking about was Peter walking on the water. And he's saying that we got to be part of the Glub Glub Club. We've got to be willing to risk it all. And even if we go under, glub glub. I mean, literally, that's what he was preaching about. Okay, I'm not making a bit of this up. I could take you to witnesses. And all of a sudden, the door, we're at the end of the service. We're ready to pray and leave. And all of a sudden, the big doors fly open and all this management from the hotel come in and say, get out of here, the flood, it's flooding, you got to leave, everybody out. And the speaker up front says, well, we're going to pray the benediction, then we'll leave. No, you don't understand. And I was one of the first, because I'd been sitting on one of the edges, one of the first out, and I kid you not, the carpet was up like 6-9 inches with water coming under it, down the steps, down the escalators, which had all been stopped. And we were getting out of there because literally within 5 minutes of everybody getting out, the water was, these are banquet hall size rooms. So they're like 20 feet tall. The water was within a couple feet of the top of the ceiling where we had just been. That's a glow glow club. He had no idea when he preached that message. And the challenge was to raise money to build the church. And the church that was built is where Marcia and I got married. So, good glove club creek. Story. The creek, yeah.
What happened to your car?
Oh, thank you for asking. Yeah, you know, Volkswagens float for about an hour. This lasted all night. It didn't float that long. Actually, we dried it all out, cleaned it up, and a guy helped me get it running again, and I drove it for another 2 years till I totaled it. So, that's another great story, but Marshall will tell that one later. So what do? You say, Pastor, I hear the call of God to come to him, to give him my life, or to give him these areas that trouble me, or to give him the honor and glory he needs, and to put him first in my heart. What do? Well, the first thing you need to do is to seek good examples. Get close to people who are living it. We've got wonderful, wonderful Christians in this room who can talk to you spiritually and talk to you wisely about life and how to be committed and how to live it. The second thing is move past your past. We let our past hold us back many times. Sometimes it's what we were called as a child or what people pigeonholed us in life or where we think we're stuck. And God wants to erase that past as a controlling factor in your life. So get beyond it. Move beyond it. Be healed. Be made whole. Don't let it hold you back. Don't let it burn you up. I have to tell you honestly, there are times even today when I have to pray, God, help me forgive long time ago issues that I thought I settled and I did, but I can't let that resentment and bitterness come back. Help me now. Put it behind you. Get your past behind you, and then seek out helpers. Many people can coach you. Many people can give you insight, good books you can read. Seek help, specific helps in the areas where you're stuck, in the areas where you're thirsty. Come unto me, all ye that are thirsty. And you realize you're thirsty. I'm thirsty here. This, I don't understand this. I don't get this. I'm not finding success and victory here, Lord. Show me why. Help me to find your answer. Seek out those that can help you in that area. And then I love this as a closing verse. His divine power has given us a little bit of what we need. Some stuff. Everything we need for a godly life. Where does a godly life come from? You're trying, you're striving, your best? No. His best. He gives you everything you need for a godly life. He opens all the doors. He does. And you can find the answers. You can find the way. For a godly life through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us everything we need. I didn't mention it at the beginning, but this verse, this 55, 1 and 2, became for me bread and butter. I mean, just what I needed to live on for a long time as a young man. Just come to God and let Him satisfy the needs. Come to God and trust Him for every area of life. Come to God and give Him the priority. And it just was a foundational scripture in my life. And I chose it today because it's in the lectionary, in the lectionary readings. And when I read it, I said, that's where I've got to go. Because it's so true. I've proven it. I've seen it over and over in my life. That where the hunger is and where the hurt is where God is wanting me to confess my thirst, my need. And He then will fill. Wow. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today that Your Word accomplishes that which it is sent out to do. And so in each heart and in each mind, it's different today. But Father, it's the same Holy Spirit and it's the same truth. And Father, I would pray in this moment that as You've been thinking in the minds and watching the minds of each one in our church this morning and each one listening online, they know and You know the hurt and the thirst in life. And so, Lord, I pray that we would connect our thirst to Your offer of free water and bread and wine. We would connect it to the abundance of Your grace and goodness for us. And where we're stuck, we'd get unstuck in turning to You. And allow You to heal and allow You to lift and allow You to breathe a new vision into us. A new enthusiasm of Your Spirit into our lives. A new vigor into our walk with Christ. A new commitment for what we want to see done and how You want to do it through us. I want to take just a couple of moments here at the end to say to you, I don't know how this message works in your life, but I know it's God's word for your life. And I want to encourage you to find those who will help you put the pieces together, who will be your cheerleaders, who will come alongside you and just believe that you can do it and hold you up in Christ and walk with you in the process. Lord, in the minds of several right now, You are speaking very clearly about the need, but also about who might be able to help and who could talk to them or who could guide them or how they could grow. Give us the courage to do it. Don't let us be distracted. Don't let us be carried away Forgive us for when we buy and spend on that which does not satisfy. Help us to find that which will forever satisfy us, because we find it in you. Guide now as we worship and as we give and as we fellowship afterwards. Just guide our conversations and our thoughts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive the tithes and offerings. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you before his throne with great grace, to that great shepherd of the sheep, be dominion, power, and authority. And God bless you in all that you do. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.